This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We're going to have a great show today. We have Kermit Davis, our basketball coach at MTSU, the boys basketball coach, and one of the more successful coaches in the country. And we're going to let you know that the first part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. That's Melissa Warren's business. It's located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H. That's behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And their business has been set up to take care of the people in this community who no longer can take care of the responsibilities in their home. And there may be a chance that they may have to leave. Well, they don't have to anymore. Melissa comes in with her business, At Home Care, 24/7, take care of all the responsibilities inside your home. They run errands for you. All you have to do is just sit back and relax and enjoy your retirement the way you're supposed to. Kermit, great to have you on today.
Thanks, Truman. I sure appreciate that. It's good to be on. We've got a little basketball camp going on right now. It's our last one of the summer, and we've got about 150 campers and Truman. They're all from like 4 years old, most of them about 14 or 15. So it's a day camp, and it's really the most fun camp that we have to work and see our players work with these young guys.
It must be special for those kids to be out there having a coach like you teach them the lessons in the sport that they love the most.
Well, I appreciate it. I tell you what, Truman, they enjoy my players more than they enjoy me. Those campers are. We enjoy the instructional part of it. We do a lot of the fundamentals, but then we have a lot of fun competitions for them. We eat lunch right there. Mm-hmm. But what's good about it is our players are there all the time.
Wow.
To work it around their class schedule. They're all taking at least one class. But it's fun for Marcos Knight and JT Sultan and all these guys just to be hands-on and coaching them all the time. And those kids love that.
Now, the kids, do they come more from a local area here, or do they come from other places? Because I know your reputation goes all the way across the country.
Well, it's nice you to say that. I appreciate that. But as a day camp, we've probably got – now, we'll have some kids like from Atlanta or Florida or maybe from Memphis that are up seeing their grandparents or their uncle, and we'll stay with them because it's only a day camp from around 8 to 4. And then what we have, Truman, is our team camp. We'll have about 650 kids, and they come from a lot of parts of the Southeast and come with their team. Then we have a one-day elite camp, which kind of the better players had about 60 or 70 of those, and they came anywhere from Charlotte, from D.C., St. Louis, a lot of different places.
You know, it's great for the kids, but it's also great for you to have those kids come in because they're going to remember being here. And when it comes time for those kids to be looking at a possibility of a school somewhere down the line in the future, I'm sure that you're going to be right in the forefront.
We have signed, there's no telling, I bet you in 10 years probably have signed, I'd say at least 7 to 10 kids that have been in my camp. Over the summers. And then it's great for just kids that are making decisions just where they want to go to college and not play, and hopefully have a good experience on this campus and want to come back to Middle Tennessee because they'll play in the rec center and play, and kind of do some things, Edie McCauley and kind of see this campus and, how it's growing and hopefully have a good experience.
I bet you when you get some of these kids that come in here that look like they may be the next Larry Bird or the Magic Johnson or whatever, I bet that really does make you stand up and take a look at those kids. Do you kind of have to treat them the same as all the other kids, or do you just kind of feel like that they're so special you have to do something with them?
Yeah, the recruiting process is always in the back of your mind when you see guys that you think that can help your program, and there's a lot of them we see like ninth graders, even sophomores, and you start looking at them for 2015, 2014, and there'll even be some eighth graders that'll come into your camp. But you treat them all the same, but those kids that their talent is special, then obviously the recruiting process always starts then if you think they've got a chance.
Now, you came from Mississippi,
and
of course, I know you went to school at Mississippi State. And,
right.
And if I'm not mistaken, your father was a coach.
He sure was.
And I know that he had to have a great deal of of input into how your future has turned out?
You know, and it's a lot of people ask as you this next year will be my 30th year in college coaching.
Wow,
and
that's a lot.
And I was so fortunate, Truman, that I grew up and how I grew up, you know, and it fast tracked me at an early age to do some of the things I normally couldn't have done because mm-hmm. of who I met, who I was around, the exposure that I got from being around my father. And I'm always very honest about that. Now, it can get you fast tracked, but if you don't do the job, you know, they'll get you on the other track in a hurry too. But it gave me a lot of other opportunities. I've been asked, you know, what did your dad? I don't, you know, I got a lot of basketball things from him. I think that, and I always say this, my dad reminds me a lot of Coach Earl. He does. I mean, just how he dealt with people. He was so great in the community. He had great people skills. I think I got a lot of that from my father. He was always a disciplined guy. You know, I got to grow up in a household that he was the first coach in Mississippi to start 5 African-American players. Mm-hmm. And kind of what he went through that nobody knew except for my brother and I and my mother and how that went. You know, mm-hmm. he was responsible for getting the first black athlete to come to Mississippi State, Frank Dowsing, who was a football player but had played at Tupelo High School. My dad was a basketball coach. So I saw a lot of that stuff evolve, Truman, you know, and a lot of that thing was pretty neat. And for me to see as a young guy growing up and just see – you know, 30 and 40 years down the road, how college athletics has evolved.
You know, did your dad ever carry you aside and say to your son, coaching basketball has to be one of the toughest jobs there is, because as you're climbing up the ladder of success, somebody has already all the rungs or maybe taken one or two out for you while you're trying to become successful. People are always looking at that level that you're at from one year to the next. I mean, it's just they expect complete success every year. They really do.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. And my dad talked about it. In fact, I was there probably about 3 weeks ago. My brother's daughter graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. He lives in Olive Branch, Mississippi. So we went to Tupelo and spent the night with my father. And so
that's
we talked
where
about,
Elvis was from, right?
Yeah, right there. Yeah, I go by his house all the time when I go by and see Dad. And but we talked about, you know, back then, obviously, the money mm-hmm. wasn't what it was. My dad's last year, Truman, as a head coach, Coach Earl can tell you, like 77, I think Dad was making $35,000, $38,000 the head coach. Now the new coach at Mississippi State's making probably $1.3
million.
So that part has changed. Mm-hmm. The social media, obviously, has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. But I was one of those guys that – I knew I was going to coach when I was 5 years old. I just did. I knew that's exactly what I was going to do. And so that part of it, the pressure was kind of off. But my father had asked me, he said, look, I'd really like for you to get another degree. Mm-hmm. So he really kind of got me to get my degree in business administration, which I did, and got a master's in arts and teaching. But he really wanted me to kind of get something else just in case that old ball coaching didn't work out.
But you're not going to need that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have really been at the very top of the game, and you, the thing about you is you've been successful everywhere that you've been, which is amazing, because the places that you've been were not really that successful before you came there. And I know I know you were the assistant head coach at LSU,
right?
And I remember when you went there, LSU was not at the top of their game. They were really
right.
flailing at that time.
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate to work with a lot of good guys. I first got a chance, I was 24 years old, and a guy named Horace Holmes, who was a junior college mm-hmm. president in Mississippi, was kind of an old school guy, I loved him to death. Coach gave me a chance and took over this junior college program. It was just terrible. We won pretty good many games in 2 years, and I went to Idaho, which they've been bad, and Coach mm-hmm. Tim Floyd, who used to be the coach for the Bulls, I was his assistant, and it was fun there to turn that thing around. And Tim went to New Orleans, I got the job there at Idaho. You know, went with John Brady at LSU. Coach Brown, who I love, Coach, it had so much success, but the 4 or 5 years before he got there, they'd really fallen on hard times, mm-hmm. And had been really about dead last. And so in 3 years, won an SEC championship there and had, you know, a really good staff to work with. And so it was fun. You know, we got this job, and Randy Will is a really good guy, and maybe they hadn't done as well. You know, there's kind of an apathy, really, as far as attendance. And so it's been a process here, but it's been fun. And but it has been fun to kind of take over programs and hopefully build them, and hopefully we continue to build this thing here.
That's the amazing thing about you is you've been able to make a success, even though in a lot of times you've had both hands tied behind your back. Because we're talking about LSU. LSU is basically a football school.
Right.
So, and then you go, you're talking about going out to Idaho. The recruiting has to be pretty tough to bring people into those particular type venues.
Yeah, if you can recruit to Moscow, Idaho, and we still have great friends there, you can. We went from Mississippi to Moscow, Idaho. My wife, my mother-in-law thought I was crazy. I think she's about ready to file for divorce herself. She said Betty wasn't going to Moscow, Idaho to make $16,800, Truman. But it was fun. You know what we did? We went back south. We went all the kids from Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and we brought them to Idaho.
Wow.
And they loved them. It was different, but they loved it. And we won so many games. We won about 50 games in 2 years and went to a couple NCAA tournaments. So a lot of success, had a lot of good feelings for those guys. But it was fun. And I always tell all the young people I talk to, Truman, is that, you know, don't just put a 100-mile radius around your hometown. Home's great. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to go away to get back to home, you know, to get back to the South. And so I think that's what we did. I grew up in Mississippi all my life, but kind of wanted to venture out. And I went out to Utah State, too. So those years out West were great, and it was good. I didn't want to live my rest of my life there, but it was fun experience.
I bet it's a beautiful area, though. I've been in parts of Idaho, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I'm like you. I've got to live in the South.
Yep.
But the South, is that the big fertile ground to go into recruiting in the Southeast? Is that where a lot of your basic talent's going to come from?
I think it's the most athletic people mm-hmm. in the country or in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. And I think more predominantly, obviously, you see it in college football. Mm-hmm. And most of these Southern kids will stay close to home, and it's just their running and jumping and their competitive nature. And they really are basically all really good guys. They all, like a lot of young people, need structure and discipline. Mm-hmm. But just their talent level is something. And so I enjoy that. And I enjoy Southern kids. But we've had kids from Newark, New Jersey here, in New York mm-hmm. City, and a lot of different places, State College, Pennsylvania. But you're right. There's not a bunch of guys running around state of Idaho that can run, jump, and dunk balls, that's for sure.
And then when you talk basketball, normally you're talking Kentucky, Indiana, something
right.
like that. When you get talking to some young guy and they're looking at him, say from Kentucky or Indiana, and they want this particular player on their team, how do you sell MTSU against those other schools? I know MTSU is starting to become a big-time name in basketball,
right.
and it has been off and on over the years. Of course, we know when Coach Earl was there, it was big time.
Sure.
And now that you have brought it up to that level, of course, everybody around here is going to expect success. That's the way it is. But you're talking about MTSU. What is the big sell here besides yourself as the coach?
Well, obviously, Coach Earl really was the first guy, and there had been good coaches before Coach and good players, but mm-hmm. but Coach Earl's the one that really established Middle Tennessee basketball.
Right.
That, you know, we all started taking notice from Mississippi and different places because mm-hmm. the teams and players that he had. And, you know, Truman, it's just you can't beat Kentucky and Indiana on a player just because you go there. And, I mean, it's just at the highest level. It's really difficult unless you've got some kind of family tie mm-hmm. or some strong, strong tie to Middle Tennessee. That's going to be a difficult deal. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes maybe some parts of the SEC, we've beaten some schools like that
right.
on kids. Obviously, Conference USA will recruit right against Conference USA and a lot of other teams. But that high level of SEC, ACC is hard. The thing we sell is the name recognition of Middle Tennessee. If you didn't grow up in this area, mm-hmm. they think it's kind of a directional school.
Right.
And you just have to, I say, look, I promise you, if you'll just get you and your parents to come here and you'll take a look at it, you'll understand. It'll have an SEC feel, an ACC feel, Big 12. And they come here and they see the $250 million worth of new construction.
Right.
They see, I took a kid the other day and his dad into our business school. He's trying to major in business entrepreneurship, which is higher accredited than the Vanderbilt Business School. It's like Harvard Business. It's like Princeton. It's like an Ivy League education. Mm-hmm. So there's some different, and there's a lot more than just the business school. So you can sell some really good things. And then when you start taking them, Truman, out in the Murfreesboro area, it beats a lot of my alma mater, Mississippi State, who I love. You know, I grew up
Starkville.
There. But, you know, it's no comparison. Murfreesboro to Starkville, you know, or Murfreesboro to Oxford, Mississippi, or even Auburn, Alabama. They're good college towns, but they don't have the things that, we can offer from a city's social climate. And 30 minutes down the road, you got this great city of Nashville. So there's a lot of positive things that you can hit on.
Yeah, I think this area does sell itself when you get them down here because you've got the small town atmosphere, but you have everything that's needed right here, which makes it good. But when I think about college recruiting, especially in the basketball arena, we're talking about kids who are looking to go on to that next step into the pros. And to me, when Kentucky goes out and recruits all these kids, a lot of these kids are only going to stay 1 or 2 years, and then they're going to be gone. That has to be tough.
It's a tough business. Even when I was at LSU, you know, and we'd have guys that stay a year and second pick in the draft, Stromile Swift, those kind of players. A lot of them you see in the NBA right now that played at LSU. Not as much so, and I think that's why, like, Middle Tennessee State can beat Tennessee or UCLA or Ole Miss or Butler or VCU can can get to a Final Four because you can develop a lot of seniors. Like this year, Truman, we have 6 seniors on our team.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, and they're good seniors, and they're good players.
They played well together.
Oh, and I worked them out yesterday. We worked them out in the summer, and, I mean, that's a team with a lot of experience, and they go. And we can play with a lot of college teams in college basketball next year. Because you know what? Those 6 seniors and some of those other guys on our team, even Sean Jones and Kerry Hammonds, who's been there now third-year juniors, Truman, you start going up against some young freshmen, even though they're so talented, I tell you what, early on now, you can cause a lot of problems for them, and that's why we'll be real competitive nationally next year.
That's one thing I do like about your teams at the very top is that they play as a team. They play together. And I have seen some of the more successful basketball teams over the years. Really, they didn't have that superstar up there, or 1 or 2 superstars. But when they all played together as one, they more than compensated for that particular problem.
Well, thanks, Truman. You know, it's a big emphasis for us. And like I always say, that everybody says, well, aren't the kids today so much different than they were when we all grew up? And I say, no, not really. I say they all want structure. They all want discipline. They're good people. But just think about what they've been exposed to that we didn't. And we didn't have a cell phone right in front of our face or an iPad right in front of our face or, you know, gosh almighty, the R-rated movies. You know, I mean, it's almost like PG now. You know, we couldn't even get into them because they're R and X when we were growing up. So it's what they've been exposed to. The one thing that we really try to do, we try to emphasize a lot of the people skills stuff because everybody's so hooked on their phone. Young kids, including my daughters, they got that phone right in front of their face. So you're trying the communication process, but really they're the same. I mean, they do. They're good guys. They want to have structure and they want to have a lot of fun, and we do, you know.
When you're looking at players, do you kind of separate what you're looking for? If you're looking for maybe the shooter, the gunner out there that can hit from anywhere, but maybe doesn't have all that athletic ability, but yet you want to compensate by finding somebody else, do you sometimes give away something to take something?
You got to. I mean, there's really about 6 skills in basketball, you know, passing and ball handling and shooting, you know, defending, rebounding. But if one guy is just special at one particular thing, Raymond Cintron, the Puerto Rican kid we got from San Juan. Raymond's not the quickest guy, but I'm telling you one thing, Truman, he can shoot it as good as anybody. He can. And so sometimes he wasn't as good a defender last year, but, you know, he had such a specialty and something maybe we didn't do as well is shoot the basketball. So we left Raymond on the floor a lot. So there is, you want the all-around guy, and once you get them there, you hope you can improve their other parts of their game. But there's nothing like a guy who can just evermore go rebound it or could be your best defender or your best shooter. So that specialty is still a part of basketball.
Now, speaking of special player, you had Denby this last year. And evidently, there are a lot of pro teams that are looking at him right now. He seems to be traveling from one city to the next. How do you think that he will do? How successful will he be?
Well, I'm his biggest fan, Truman, because he's such a great talent. Everybody saw he's a fun player to watch. He is one of those guys, he kind of walks in the ring, he just kind of got it. He does. I mean, he's one of those cats, but if you could ever see him around your team, if you could ever see him around your locker room, you ever see him around your family, he's even a better guy. I mean, he is. He's such a team guy. I've seen him walk off the floor and get in foul trouble and score 7 points and be the happiest guy in the locker room. And that doesn't happen a lot, you know. So he loved to win. And I wish him the best. I talked to him last night. He was in L.A. and he flew to Dallas yesterday. Had a great workout in Dallas. You know, some people projecting maybe a mid to late second round pick. Who knows? Ron may not get drafted. Mm-hmm. But like I told Ron, only one have to like you. Only one. But Truman, I think no doubt he's going to make an NBA Summer League team. Mm-hmm. And you can make a team like that as a free agent. So he's got a lot of possibilities, and he's got a real bright future ahead of him.
Now, you talk about when he goes up to the pros, but you have so many. And I've seen this commercial. I can't remember which sport it's in, but it's like they all go into pros at some level or the other. But, of course, most of them end up in business or something like that. How much do you push the classroom for these kids? And knowing you, I'm sure it's right at the top, because it seems like most really successful programs – they start in the classroom.
It goes hand in hand. It does. I'm telling you, if you get guys, LaRon Dindy, he'll be the first one to say, if he's sitting right here and he put those headphones on, his life wasn't simple when he got here. Oh, great kid off the floor. I mean, he doesn't drink a beer, doesn't do anything like that. I mean, nothing. But his life was kind of in disarray academically. Mm-hmm. He was always one of those cats trying to catch up in school. You know, he was always trying to find a way and maybe to shortcut. Well, finally, he got his life so simplified. And we kicked him out of the locker room for about 4 weeks. And said, LaRon, you can't come back in the gym. Because that's what he loved.
Yeah.
And I said, you're just not going to do it. And one day, he was in my office. I said, LaRon, this is not going to work. Just because of academics. It's just not going to work. And I mean, we had a real emotional and heartfelt deal for about a couple hours. And from then on, he knew he's going to have to do that. And then when he got his degree, Truman, it was better than him being player of the year in the Sun Belt. It meant that much to him and his mom. And for him to kind of go back and talk about that to young people, which I've heard him, you know, it's the most important thing to him. So sometimes you, as we all do, some people try to help you find your way and have to put some structure into what you're doing. But we've graduated 23 straight guys. Which that's probably the most proud of is
that's
that.
Amazing.
Our academic performance rating in college basketball is really, really good. And we just got good guys. We'll graduate all six of these seniors. They'll get to 29 in a row. And, you know, I think it starts in the recruiting process of guys who value education and want to do it.
I know you have to be really proud of these kids that come from backgrounds that they probably would not be able to go to a university, and they come over here and they become successful in the classroom and successful in their lives. And you have to be part mentor, part dad, part everything, because you're not only seeing the good things that go through, such as the classroom success, but you're also seeing these kids make mistakes from time to time.
Right.
And what a lot of times is, these kids, if they make a mistake, it ends up in the newspaper or somewhere else. And that has to be real tough on you, because you can't be with them 24 hours a day. I mean, it's just like being a parent.
It is a parent.
And when they slip, then it has to be tough.
It is. I mean, it's got to be tough love. I mean, you got to... You know, you got to hug them, and sometimes you got to kick them in their pants every now and then. And it's both ways. It's just like our children. Our children can disappoint us, but we never stop loving them. We never stop caring for them. And that, obviously, everybody's going to have a hiccup in the road. And how do you learn from adversity? And we all have. I've had to, and everybody's had to. And I think that's probably one of the funner parts I like about coaching. Not a kid getting in trouble, but just how to watch a guy kind of work himself out of some small adversity and see him grow and learn from it. And, you know, that's why people can't just give up on somebody because of a mistake. They got to hang in there with them, especially if you know somebody's got a lot of good in them.
Doesn't it bother you, though, say, when the media starts telling you how to do your business and handle your business? I know how that is. It has to
you
be
know,
tough.
Yeah.
It has
yeah.
to be.
You're an elected official for a long time, Truman, and great at what you did. And so you've been through it, and that's what I've always said. And maybe only two people that have it worse than basketball coaches, and maybe officials and politicians, you know. So, but, you know, it's the world we live in the public eye.
Yeah.
I don't mind the social media. The message boards and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, I'm not on them, You know, I just mind that as long as they're just stating, if they're stating the truth, mm-hmm. opinions are great. You know, if a guy wants to say Kermit can't coach, that's his right. But when they start putting things out there, Truman, that aren't factually correct, and don't have to be accountable for it, I think that's the only thing that bothers coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, shoot, I've grew up in this business, and so I'm pretty thick-skinned. And so if a guy can want to say negative things and doesn't agree with me, that's fine. That's his right. No problem. But it's just when they start going social media and talk show and saying things that really aren't fact and aren't truthful, mm-hmm. that's what's bad. And they get to hide behind no, you know, don't be up in front and say, look, I'm Kermit Davis and this is what I said, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only, I think, part that coaches throughout any kind of sport, you know, they hate that about, you know, about the social media that goes on today.
Your time has to be extremely limited because you're busy all the time. I mean, a lot of people think, well, the coach is going to be here for the basketball season, maybe spend a couple of weeks or whatever recruiting and looking around, and then you got plenty of time for golf and all the great things that go along with it. That's not true, is it? You're busy all the time.
Yeah, it's you know, usually May and June are some of our better months mm-hmm. that we can spend some more time with our family. Our players are gone the whole month of May, but you never leave it because you've always got recruiting going on. You've always got unofficial visits. Camps are important to us, and you've got camps during the summer. But probably May is our best month for family time and being able to get out of the office a little bit, you know, and I think that's part of it, Truman. You know, I'm a guy that I don't do a lot of different things. I enjoy my family more than anything, and I do it, and people in this community know that. But I try to treat my assistants the same way. I think a coach, to be productive, needs to have time with his family. I'm not a guy that's making guys stay up in that office to 10 or 11. Now, we're accountable for what we do, you mm-hmm. know, and so much now with our cell phone and email and things you can do at the house, you know. I'm an old school guy, Truman. I'm an office guy. I'm there early. That's just what I do, you know. But as long as a guy's productive, I sure let him spend some time with his family.
Well, a successful guy is not going to sit on his rear end. That's just the way it is.
I hadn't found how to do that. I can't do it, that's
but
for sure.
MTSU has been so lucky, so fortunate, however you want to look at it. We have got some really great coaches over at MTSU, and I think the more that people look at that and see the success going on at that university, I think it's just going to be a continuous thing. And I have had the pleasure of talking to just about every one of them.
Right.
And I have enjoyed it and have been so impressed, just like I'm so impressed with you and not only your energy, but your knowledge. How do you keep bringing in, say, like the assistant coaches that you are? Because you know that there's a target on every one of them's back. As you become more successful, there's going to be, they're not only looking at you, but they're also looking at your assistant coaches.
Right. It's and what you said is correct. And, you know, we've been at LSU and those kind of places. Mm-hmm. All these coaches, I'm telling, whether you go the tennis coaches or Whit, who had some great opportunities and chose to stay in Middle Tennessee.
That was amazing.
Stock 2 years ago. Could have gone to East Carolina or Memphis and chose to stay here. I mean, Rick Enzel and what he's done. Peter Scott. I mean, you could just go on and on and on from Pete to everybody.
Right.
You know, Dean Hayes, all these. So it's a good group. And I tell you what, we love this area. We love Middle Tennessee. We love Murfreesboro, the people and the community. And it keeps you wanting to be here. Mm-hmm. We've got great leadership with Chris. I mean, Chris has done a fabulous job.
Oh,
he really has.
Yes, he has.
Dr. McPhee, who hired me 11 years ago, is just as good a guy for a coach and athletics. And if people could really see the time that he spent with student athletes, not just the basketball team, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about women's volleyball, track, soccer, and he and Liz both, they know him. I mean, they absolutely, our guys, and how many times can you go to, I've been to a lot of schools now, our guys don't even hardly know who the president is, you know. And it, dang sure the president wouldn't know their name. Mm-hmm. But when he and Liz would take in 8 of my players and feed them Thanksgiving dinner and just want to do it and invite them over, I mean, and he does it for a lot of students on campus. And I think the personal touch that they give them is, it's important, you know. So we got really good administration.
Have you ever had you bring the kids' parents in here And do they get to see the atmosphere here? And, right. And I'm sure that has to the sell what the product that you're trying to give to the kid. I mean, it has to be able to do that. But, and to see all the closeness to it,
yep.
It's not like you're a number and you're lost on the campus. It's just something really special about this place.
It is. You said it earlier, Truman. This is not a suburb of Nashville.
Right.
This is, as you know it, 100 times more than I do. I mean, it has a lot of history, and Civil Wars. It's a town. Yeah. It's not Murfreesboro didn't come here because Nashville was here, mm-hmm. And so that's what I sell in my recruiting. This is
actually,
not a
we
suburb.
Were the capital of Tennessee before they were.
And I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that, Truman. So I learned something mm-hmm. that. So, but so it really is. It's got a great small town mm-hmm. feel. But such a vibrant, growing community, and that's hard to keep both of those things going at the same time.
Now, what are you looking for in this next year? Of course, I know you're looking to be the champ.
Right.
And you're looking to go on into the NCAA.
Sure.
How do you think we're going to do this next year? Maybe that's an unfair question.
No, it's a great question.
Because you never know from what's going to happen.
Well, I've never been more excited about a team, just based on the work that we've done since the spring.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great run in the NIT to beat Tennessee. We
sure did.
We all thought we were going to beat Minnesota and go to New York and win the NIT, and we didn't. We had an unbelievable crowd. We were heartbroken that we didn't get in the NCAA.
They played an unusual game, Minnesota did against
you. They were terrific.
It was unbelievable.
God, they were great.
It was the best basketball game that I have seen, and I don't know when.
Yeah.
Because there was 110% effort on both sides, and they were both playing at the very peak. It was an amazing game.
Yeah, Truman, I saw Tubby in Virginia, in Hampton, Virginia, in an AAU tournament probably about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and he came up to me and says, Kermit, we play in the Big Ten. Obviously, it's great basketball crowds. He said, that was as good an atmosphere. He said, our team played as good as we can play, and we had to.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I thought so too, Tubby. I said, I thought our team played extremely hard, and it was just one of those games that it was fun. And but we'll build on that. We lost two good players, Lauren Dendy. We'll miss Jimmy Oden. Jimmy did some mm-hmm. good things for us, and I was so proud of Jimmy. And but I love our team. And because of that, Truman, we're going to announce our schedule this weekend. We can't go into great detail right now, but it's going to be probably one of the most difficult non-conference schedules in all of college basketball. We did it for a reason because we think we've got a good experienced team coming back. We'll play three SEC teams. We've got a good home schedule. So we hope it just kind of hits perfect that we're going to have a really good home schedule to come off that year and hope to break all the season ticket records and then really have some good crowds early.
It's amazing. Success is almost like a magnet drawing people into the stands.
Right.
And I have seen that with both your teams and with Rick's teams. And you're both competitive with anybody in the country. You really are. There's nobody that's going to come in and knock MTSU out of the way. It's not going to happen.
Well, last year I think, combining women and men's team, we were the fifth winningest two teams together in college basketball, combining the men and women's record. So it's a real competitive, no question about that. So we're looking forward to it. I just think that our team will have a chance to do some great things, and can't wait to get started.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Kermit Davis.
The Bunganut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
I'm with Mark Goodson, the new owner of the Bunganut Pig here in Murfreesboro. Mark, tell us a little bit about the Bunganut Pig.
The store's been open for 17 years. If you haven't eaten with us, we hand cut and hand trim all of our ribeye, and we guarantee the best burger in town.
They should expect a smoke-free environment, open to all ages, live music.
Join the Bunganut Pig every Tuesday night for live music. The Bunganut Pig on Northfield in the Georgetown Square.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro. This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
This is Dave Gober with F&B Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30 for the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show every Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30.
It's time now for Good Neighbor Events from WGNS. Artwork by James Spearman is on display right now through July the 27th in the rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall. That's through July the 27th. And you're encouraged to celebrate the 4th of July with your friends here in Murfreesboro over at McKnight Park. It starts with a day of fun at the Murfreesboro Beach. That's the outdoor pool and water park at SportsCom. At 9 o'clock, a fantastic fireworks display set to music by the Murfreesboro Symphony. And if the weather forces any changes, tune to WGNS. And the 13th annual Special Kids Friend Raiser will be at the World Outreach Church at 5:30 Thursday evening, July 19th. Motivational speaker John Acuff is the guest. Call Special Kids for information, 893-4892. And the 117th annual Sons of Confederate Veterans Reunion will be in Murfreesboro this year. That's right, July the 11th through the 14th over at the Embassy Suites and Conference Center. Oh, check our website for more Good Neighbor events and local news, too. It's all free. WGNSradio.com. And those are Good Neighbor events.
There is a difference at Murfreesboro Automotive.
We have a lot of people that just pull up and say, hey, my check engine light is on. Can you tell me what's wrong with it? And we don't charge for that.
That's Chuck Haynes with Murfreesboro Automotive.
A lot of stores will charge. We do that at no charge here. We feel like they'll probably become a customer if we do that.
From the simple oil change to major auto repair work, Murfreesboro Automotive can handle it all. They're on Ridgely Road. Just turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's. Murfreesboro Automotive.
Hi, this is Ed Asner. What really brought down the three World Trade Center skyscrapers on 9/11? See 9/11 explosive evidence experts speak out. The powerful new documentary film from architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. Visit 911expertspeakout.org today.
Visit 911expertspeakout.org. The event will be on Tuesday night at TPAC, July the 3rd at 6:30 in the evening. Tickets are $12 and are available at TPAC.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Britt Miatan, a cardiologist with St. Thomas Heart at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Did you know that St. Thomas Heart is Middle Tennessee's number one rated heart program? At MTMC, we offer comprehensive services for the treatment and prevention of heart disease. From early diagnosis to minimally invasive surgical procedures, St. Thomas Heart at MTMC offers you heart care close to home. For information, visit heartasone.com or call 867-5028.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
Well, welcome back with Kermit Davis. Kermit, this is so much fun being here. When you go out in the community, what are the things you like to be doing here in Murfreesboro as far as just kind of cooling it and taking it easy? I know that you have special places you like to go and things like that.
Yeah, you know, Truman, I love to grill out in the summer.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I love it as much. So I'm doing a little cooking deal on the back of my house. So for 8 weeks, that's been going on. You're putting a cooking station in a fireplace, and so just about to finish that. So I've missed that part of it, getting on my back porch around 6:30 and cooking out and spending some time with some friends. There's a lot of good places. I golf some in May and June. I'm not a great golfer, but I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And I go once a week sometimes, you know, and hopefully I'm going to play tomorrow. And play a lot at Stones River and have some really good friends out there at the country club I like spending time with. Tonight, a friend of mine's in town, and we're going to go over to Bonefish and have something to eat tonight. But there's just so many good places to go out. And we don't do a bunch, though, Truman. We really don't. We don't. You know, we get out socially. I know, but we don't. We just, you know, you just can't really go out there.
Don't you miss that? I know I did. there are a lot of things that you would like to do. You just don't have the time for it because your job pretty much takes up all of that time. And I know all the football coaches, they sit there and they watch all these reels, time, not reels, but, you know, the replays of all the games and things like that. Do you spend a lot of time doing that, getting an educational preview of all the teams that you're going to be playing?
I do a lot, you know, and even during the summer we'll have particular tapes that I have, like, weekly that I put on my calendar I'd like to watch. Maybe it's it was a game that we played. It may have been a different college game that I didn't participate in. I tape a lot of the NBA games, not to watch every NBA game, but to watch different things that they do. There were some things I got from the Boston Celtics series that we put into our team. It kind of fit into our offensive package. So I think we're constantly doing things, you know, like that. I enjoy film. And I always get on stock in football guys. I said, I think football staffs waste so much time. They watch more film, you know.
Do they pop popcorn and drink Cokes?
I don't know what they do. Them cats stay in the office more than anybody ever seen. I said, guys, how many times do you have to watch that film to figure it out? You know, I said, a smart basketball coach and watch it one time and kind of go home. So, but we laugh. Stock and I are great friends. But, you know, you watch tape and you spend your time in the summer. Like right now, we're really trying to prepare marketing-wise, you know, visiting with marketing people about the season ticket promotions. We've just finished our schedule, which that occupies your time. July recruiting we recruit most of the month of July, so right now planning our travel there. And then our players are here, you know, all summer, so you're working those guys out.
So the ticket sales, when do they actually go on?
Well, you know, Truman, that's something Chris and I've talked a lot about. And you know, we're going to get started. We need to get started earlier. Mm-hmm. We need to have more aggressive basketball season ticket campaign a lot earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're going to do this year. You know, this got to start right when kind of football season starts. You know, we got to aggressively get after that. You know, and really go out there and try to get people here early. And you know, part of the schedule, we say, you know, Ole Miss is going to come back here. We went to a neutral court game last year with Ole Miss. UAB will be here. Vanderbilt's going to be in our home season ticket package. Wow. So Tennessee State. So it's going to be a good package that we have, and 17 home games. So, you know, those are things that we've got to sell and get out there and get those people who are excited about basketball. We're going to have a huge announcement here in about maybe 4 to 6 weeks of a big tip-off celebration we're going to have for basketball in October. I think it's going to be really terrific and going to be a lot of fun for the fans.
Can I get you back on? So
I'd love to.
Talk about that?
I'd love to, Truman. That'd be great.
What a lot of people don't realize, they're not just watching a basketball game in a really great team. It's a happening at MTSU. That's when people get together when they don't see each other. And, you know, it's really a great community spirit there at the games. It really is. But you can tell the difference when those kids are there.
No doubt.
When the students are there.
Yep.
I mean, what was it, the Minnesota game? It was so loud you couldn't hear anything.
2,500 students.
That's amazing.
Yep, and that's what made it. You know, we had the sixth largest increase in college basketball in attendance this year in our program, which was great. Marco Born, the ticket office, everybody did a fabulous job. And so that's what we've got to do. And the students started coming. And you're right, they make the arenas, they make the football stadiums happen and the excitement. So that's what we've got to do. We've talked a lot about the student involvement. You know, our basketball team's going to have a big tailgating early on and do some different things for the students out at, you know, the Grove. So we've got to do a lot of different things just to captivate what we have. And then, Drew, what I've always said and something we've got to improve on, we live in an NFL, NHL pro market.
Yes.
So when people go to the Titan Stadium, or they go watch the Predators play, I mean, they're seeing marketing at the very highest level. Music, I mean, promotions, dance teams. You go to Titan Stadium, you see it at the highest level. So you come to Murphy Center or wherever you go, people are expecting that same kind of value. So that's something that, as a university, we're trying to improve all the time because of expectations that people have just because of what they're exposed to. This is not a college that's, you know, 200 miles from the nearest city. You know, they're exposed to quite a bit in those venues that pro markets have.
You don't think about the marketing being that crucial, but it is, because you actually have the product here. It's just getting out and selling it. That has to be tough.
And in the competitiveness of the market, Truman, as you guys have seen and Coach Earl have seen, how more competitive it has gotten over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, that the NHL is now a competitor of Middle Tennessee. You know, the Titans, which you can't really, the NFL is kind of in a league by itself. You know, or you got Vanderbilt or Tennessee or whatever. But I always say this, there's some really fine basketball programs in this state, really good bass. But I really think there's four that have the capability to do what we did this year and draw at a high level. And it's Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Memphis, and us.
Right.
Because some of those programs who've had success are not going to get 10,500 people to come to their arena, or not average almost, you know, 7,000 people during Sunbelt Conference play. So I think that's what the fans have separated us, and we've got to hit that right now when it's hot and really try to jumpstart it early on next year.
And of course, you left out ESPN because it's a double-edged sword, ESPN.
Yep.
That if you get on, it's really great. But all that other time that they're having all these other teams on, you're having to compete against them.
Yep, it's changed a lot in college athletics.
And it makes it a whole lot more comfortable to sit in your easy chair than going out, but you don't get the excitement that you have.
Exactly right.
And we have a caller on the line, Kermit, so we're going to have to put our ears on.
All right.
Caller, welcome aboard with Kermit Davis.
Thank you, Truman. I was just wondering, can we buy season tickets now for the men, or do we have to wait to a later date?
Well, I appreciate you you asking that question. You can't purchase them now, but it's going to be out there earlier than it's ever been. I know you can call Marco Bourne if you're trying to renew your tickets, if you'd like to try to change your seats. I know Marco would be available to do that. But actually purchasing the men's season tickets, hopefully that's going to be really early in the fall.
And thanks for calling, Mr. Eddie Ayers. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you with Kermit Davis.
Project Help. Good job. For Project Help.
Those are the children of Project Help. Saddle Up for Project Help will be held Thursday, July 26th at 6:30 p.m. Proceeds benefit Project Help, Rutherford County's only center-based early intervention preschool program. To sponsor Saddle Up, buy tickets, or learn more about Project Help, call 898-2458 or visit mtsu.edu/Project Help.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Kermit Davis. You know, you have got a great venue to play in and draw the fans, but it's kind of getting older. Do you think it might be in need of maybe having some refurbishing or something that would be going on inside that gymnasium right now?
Truman, we really need to spend quite a bit of money on Murphy Center. We really do. I think it really needs to be one of the, hopefully, at the front of some of the things that the university does.
It should be.
It's the forefront of what we do. Every graduation is there. Mm-hmm. Convocation is there. Graduation is there. All the high school graduations, boys and girls state tournament, mm-hmm. volleyball. It's what people see.
Right.
Bathrooms need to be updated. We need to get the roof done. The lighting is not up to par. Our sound system needs to be improved. I'd love to do something with the bleachers and new bleachers and maybe skyboxes. Mm-hmm. The glass around Murphy Center is outdated. You know, we've got the drapes on one side.
That
true,
is.
But that
right.
needs to
That's
come down. I mean, it just does. And it needs to be new glass. I mean, there needs to be some things that happen in Murphy Center. I know we've talked to Chris a lot about it. I've talked to Dr. McPhee a lot about it. And obviously, you know, they're going to do everything they can. If you go around and look, I mean, you start if you go to these different new facilities, even around the Sun Belt. Troy's building a brand new arena. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time that Murphy Center. Sometimes just people get used to going to Murphy Center. It's just been this way for all the time. Mm-hmm. You start walking some of these places around college basketball that we're recruiting against, and you'll understand just some of the things that we need done.
It's always been kind of the flagship for MTSU anyway. I remember when they built that arena, it was just second to none at the time. And, of course, as you say, it's utilized for a lot of other things except for basketball. Of course, Coach Hayes has built a powerhouse over all the years with his indoor track.
With indoor track, which is a huge advantage for coaches recruiting. And the one thing the people did, they had great foresight, that they made this place still after 40 years, this is the 40th anniversary this mm-hmm. year, this next year, to have good curb appeal. It mm-hmm. wasn't the old domed, it still has that, you know, great curb appeal.
Right.
And so that was unbelievable what they did back then. And we just needs to be some things that happen to our homes or a building that's been there for 40 years.
Yeah, actually, it wouldn't hurt in recruiting some of the talent that's been coming in here for all of these years. Harold Smith had brought in all of the great acts. Your neighbor Elvis is one of them. I think he came here five or six times.
He did.
It was really a show place at that time.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of talk about it, but that's just something that I think would be so great for our university. And like I said, there's a lot of people, Truman, that they go to Murphy Center and don't go back and see the new student union or where the new science building or the mm-hmm. recreation. They go to the Murphy Center.
Yeah.
That's what they, and then they go home. And so sometimes that may be the only vision they have of this place, and they need to walk into a place that sparkles and pops them, you know. And I think when it does, I think it'll affect student enrollment. It'll affect the everything about positive relationships that go on in our community with Middle Tennessee.
Well, let's get it started. I mean, we need a new toy over here at MTSU right now.
It'd be nice.
Now, I've got to ask you this. When I was watching that Minnesota MTSU game, I mean, one of the games of the century for MTSU.
Right.
What in the world was going through your mind at the time? And you'd call timeout, and you would try to instruct the guys on some of the situations that you needed them to take care of. How do you manage that? I mean, it's right off the cuff. When you call those timeouts and you've got it in mind, you're envisioning all the things that are going on. Is it hard to relate to the kids when all of that adrenaline is flowing at that time?
It's the fun part. And you can't do it unless you've had it in practice a number of times, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, that competitive spirit that's there, the intense huddles, people coming off the floor, the competition, and what's so cool about basketball, Truman, you get to see the emotions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes football guys come off the field with their helmets, and you're so far away, you can't really see the interact. Well, you can see if somebody comes off the court and the coach is upset, and the player in a competitive mm-hmm. good way may fire. You know, it's just that's the beauty of college basketball. You're right there, but those timeouts are fun. It's something we spend a lot of time on. You know, we came after that timeout, we're pressing and having a lot of success in our press. Mm-hmm. And then LaRon, you know, stuck his hand out, and it was a technical foul called. You hated for the game to end like that. But it was just his competitive spirit working as one of those, you know, things that happened. But
did he realize what he had done at the time?
He did. You know what happened when you watch the tape? He was so active on the ball. We had mm-hmm. a jump ball, I thought, the time before, and they didn't call it. They gave him the timeout. But LaRon kind of had his hand down, and the mm-hmm. guy went from usually guys are trying to throw it over the head and just kind of swept the ball and it almost just kind of hit LaRon's hand. So it wasn't like LaRon really tried to hit it.
It looked like it was totally inadvertent to me when I was sitting there watching.
And you know what? It was a good call. Well, it was a good call. It was the right call because it did knock it out of his hand, but it was just one of those deals that he just lowered the ball and LaRon was just trying to be active, just kind of hit his hand inadvertently, but it was the right call.
Now, is X's and O's important when you call your time out? And do you always have a second or third option when you're going through that play?
We do. We really try to value coming out of timeouts and winning the timeout. you know, whether you can maybe do something to get a cheap basket on inline out of bounds, maybe mm-hmm. do something in a press. Maybe you're on defense, Truman, but you're calling the next offensive set when you go down there. And I think our guys, for the most part, have done a great job of coming out of timeouts and try to carry over what you've talked about. But you do. You've got to have second and third options, especially in those tight situations. Mm-hmm. You know, a team may not be in the defense that you thought they were going to be in. You know, so you have to call two or three different things in one timeout.
Do you ever call a play just for a three-pointer? Because you really have to rely a great deal on that particular player and his skills.
You do. I mean, we had set plays for Kerry Hammonds, who led our league in three-point field goal percentage, three-point plays for Raymond Centron mm-hmm. after timeouts, last-second plays. We had one called against Arkansas State and didn't execute it. That's, you know, when we were down three, and we call a handoff clear play, and our guys didn't execute it. You know, we do it every day in practice, you know. So it's one of those things. Those are things in college athletics that drive you crazy. But, you know, you try to work on them, and you have different sets for every scenario that's mm-hmm. out there.
The time I really feel sorry for you when the game is going on, and if it's a tight game, is when those free throws won't go in.
Oh.
And, you know, we talked about it. Some of the players that were having a hard time adjusting to the free throw line were really good free throw shooters
yeah.
when the game wasn't going on. But
yeah.
when the game started, it put a something in the mind, just cut off whatever it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, LaRon Dindy in the Arkansas State game, I mean, you know, just – and LaRon got back 2 days later, and he's making 50 for 55, and one day 70 for 76. And it was just a mental block where those pro golfers get in putting, or you get the yips a little bit. Bruce Massey missed some free throws against Arkansas State. When we beat Tennessee, made them all.
Yeah.
You know, so you just work at it, try to work on the mechanics. It's a real fine line, Truman, how much you talk about free throw shooting when a guy's mm-hmm. struggling. You put more pressure on him. You try to relax him there. And it really is. That is such a mental thing. And it did. It cost us at Western Kentucky and cost us at Arkansas State. If, you know, it was one of those deals where it was crazy how that happened.
It almost relates to the game of golf, doesn't it?
A lot.
You can hit your driver and you can hit your iron just perfectly. If you can't hit that putt, you're not going to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot equated to putting. Your head is so important in free throw shooting. Not the mental part, but keeping it still. You always hear that, you know, you see when you're struggling putting, and amateurs like me, I've moved my head around, and it's keeping your head still and doing a lot of different things that sometimes you take for granted. But at the end of the day, a guy's just got to feel comfortable, be tough-minded, and step there and make shots.
You know, when Coach Earl was younger and coaching, he had teams that would come in at MTSU that you really had a strong rivalry with.
Right.
And is Western kind of turning into that particular team for you guys?
It is. It's always been a great rivalry for me, Truman. You know, they my first year here, we beat Western. First time they'd beat them in a while. At home mm-hmm. when they had Patrick Sparks and all those guys. They were good. They beat us in the finals of the championship that year. But it's a huge rivalry for us. We've won the last five out of six times. Mm-hmm. You know, we went there, and they had a great crowd, and they hadn't been drawing great all year, and they sold it out for us. So mm-hmm. for Western, it's gotten to be a good rivalry also. And we need more of those. We're hoping to get the Murray State game back on our schedule. It won't be this year, but next year. We're going to scrimmage Murray this year. The public can't go to it, but the next year have it. Mm-hmm. It's probably Tennessee State, Austin Peay, you know, the great Tennessee Tech games that Coach Earl had. Tennessee
yes.
Tech won't play us. Tennessee Tech won't play us. And
I don't blame them.
but those kind of games, I think we need. Fans want to see those games. They talk about Coach Earl's games.
You're exactly right, because, you know, and that brings the noise of the crowd level up. When you're playing the Vanderbilts, the Tennessees, the Tennessee Techs, where you have a strong rivalry within the state of Tennessee, it emphasizes the game more.
Well, it helps. Like Rick Byrd, you know, at Belmont, has done a great job. And those
really
two games last year were great
mm-hmm.
games.
Yeah.
And that's turned into a great a good rivalry, you know. And then I hope we'll go to Belmont this year, and I know they'll, you know, hopefully have a good crowd. A lot of Middle Tennessee people will be there. The Tennessee State game, we went to Tennessee State last year. They had over 7,000 people when we won at Tennessee State. So those local games, just like you said, Truman, our players want to play in them, and our fans want to watch them. So we need to play them.
There's no reason for you to never have an attendance less than 10,000 in that stadium. There really is.
That'd be a good deal.
Because you put the product out. It's such a great place to go.
Yep.
And turn your TV off and head to MTSU and watch sports like it's really supposed to be watched.
Yeah.
Not on a TV, but actually inside the arena.
Well, I hope you're right, Truman. I sure hope we have a lot of those great crowds this year.
Well, I'm proud of you. I mean, you have done a great job here, Kermit. We're so lucky to have you here, along with the other great coaches over at MTSU. And it's really starting to catch hold. And we need those people here to support you, because you can't find a better product anywhere in the country than MTSU when basketball season starts.
Well, I appreciate that, Truman. It's great to be here. And I know you got a great following on your show. I'm proud to be here. I'm glad that Coach Earl was here. He hid in the back. He didn't want to get on the radio. I can't imagine that.
I've never known him to be so timid. if there was a political debate going on right now.
That's what he thought. You were going to ask him some political questions, so that's why he stayed in the back.
He would be screaming at the top of his voice, no matter what side we were on.
You're exactly right. I'm telling you.
I heard something. It's been a great show, Kermit. And tell everybody over at MTSU, hey, for me.
Thanks, Truman.
And keep up the good work. I know you're going to. I'm in your corner no matter what.
Well, I appreciate you. I look forward to being back with you.
And I'm going to have an old friend on tomorrow, Mr. David Puckett, who was with the DA's office for a number of years, and now he's hung his shingle out in Woodbury. So we'll see you guys tomorrow.